Thank you, men, for leading us in prayer. And, this is not just for Congressman Good. If you left your Bible, and I've done it before, I remembered while I've been here at Fellowship, I left my notes. That's not always a bad thing. I try not to be tied to notes. But we have some Bibles under the chairs, and so you can look. Maybe close by you is a Bible. If not, then look on with someone. We're going to be turning to Deuteronomy. We've been going through the book of Deuteronomy. If you have a Bible under your chair, you can grab it there if you're someone close by to you. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Now, we've been going through the book of Deuteronomy, and then we, starting Mother's Day through Father's Day, we've been talking about the family. And right here in chapter 6, we last week said a few things about this, and I want to try to finish this section up tonight with the help of the Lord. So if you have your Bible open, Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the Word of God. Stand if you would, and we'll read verses 1 through 9. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Give everyone an opportunity to find it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I have just a few things that God's laid on my heart that I'd like to share with you. I appreciate all of the comments that Congressman Good said, in particular things about churches and pastors. We've been fed a lie for so long. I've never believed it as a Christian. I sure hope that you haven't. That separation of church and state and all this, it's garbage. You know, down south we call it hogwash. it's garbage and it's a lie. And we need to be praying. We need to get involved. I'd love to see some men of our congregation run for office, for local office. We had, not long ago when we had the America Restoration Tour come in with Chad Connolly, and David Barton really challenged my heart about getting involved in local. It's local, and then it's national, and then it's global. And that's just God's way. It's that way in missions. It's Jerusalem, and then Judea and Samaria, and then the uttermost part. So it's local in government. We want to get involved in local, right? That's where you make a difference, in local, and then national, and then global. That's just the way it's set up. And so I trust that you would consider that. Pray and ask the Lord what He'd have you to do. All right, Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Let's begin our reading in verse number 1. Now, these are the commandments. You'll remember that God had just reinstated the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, and we talked about that. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart, and with all of thy soul, and with all of thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. We'll end our reading there. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll give you some thoughts that God's laid on my heart, and I trust it'll be a help to you. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We believe that your Word is indeed the very Word of God, without error. We thank you that it has been inspired and preserved, and now we have what thus saith the Lord. And I pray tonight as we look at your word that we would not just look on your word and hear your word, but we would receive your word and put your word into practice in our lives. So I pray you would speak to my heart, speak through me what you have spoken to me, and I pray you speak to the hearts of your people now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen, you may be seated. Now I want to just kind of walk through and navigate through these verses to get to those last two or three verses. Just by way of review, if you remember, Moses now is called, the people have come together and they have said, you know, we were really shook up when God spoke to us on the mountain, and we'd like for you to get what God says and you come and tell us. And so that's where we are here. And Moses said, well, this is what we're going to do. He said in verse number 1, and I want you to write these things down. There's some things that God is calling upon the parents, okay? They're getting ready to go into the land. And he's speaking to parents. He's speaking to leaders. He's speaking to those with families. Brethren, that's where it's at, you know? A nation is only going to be as strong as its churches, and the churches are only going to be as strong as its houses or its homes, and the homes are only going to be as strong as its parents. And so it starts with us. It starts with us. We have to train and to teach our children. And that's what Moses is saying here. And so he said, these are the commandments. And we talked about these things, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whithersoever you go to possess it. Now here's the first thing. He said, you need to get in the Word of God. And when you get in the Word of God, he said, there's a life that God expects you to live. And this is where it begins. And I don't want you to miss this. This is the life. He said, you need to live a life of the fear of God. Look at verse number 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. And so he said, reverence. All right? You need to reverence God. I need to reverence God. We need a reverence of God back in our society. But I'm just going to say back in our churches. Our churches have lost the reverence of God. Our homes have lost. Listen, there's a generation of people that have respect for nothing or no one. And he said, you need to teach your family, you need yourself to reverence, to fear, to have the fear of God in your life. There's not a thing wrong with you as the leader of your home saying, I am a God-fearing man. I'm a God-fearing lady. Amen. There's not a thing wrong with that. Teach your children to be God-fearing individuals. And so he said, number one, the key component is fear. It's reverence. I hope you'll write that down. If you want to live your life that's going to be pleasing to the Lord, then there has to be some reverence. Reverence. The fear of the Lord. Now notice what he said after that. Now, if you'll notice, he'll say, I'm going to teach you. He said, I've given you these things. I'm teaching you these things. In verse number 1, he said, I'm commanded to teach you these things that you might do them. And when you began to read God's Word, when I began to read God's Word, when we begin to practice God's Word, the reverence will come. The reverence will come. When we get into God's Word, when we get into the prayer closet, when we get into God's presence, the reverence of God will come. And so he said, reverence God. Number 2, under the life that we're to live, he said, there's a righteousness for God. All right, notice what he said here. By the way, a reverence for God always brings a righteousness toward God. Right? The reason people don't keep God's commandments is because they don't fear God. Amen. And notice what he said now. So the first word there, fear, is reverence. Right after that, he said, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. So he said, there's got to be a keeping of God's commandments. And so the life that God says that we're to live is a life of reverence, keeping God's commandments, righteousness, right? We must do what we hear and what we know that God said to do. It's not enough just to know what God says. I can't tell you how many people I talk to, you do it the same, you have it the same way. You speak to people and they say, oh, I know that. Well, it's not a matter if you know it only. Are you doing it? Are you doing what you know? That's what God expects of us. And so this life that we're to live is a life of reverence, and then it's a life of righteousness. I want to read you something, just a short quote that G. Campbell Morgan said that, let me find it here. He said that disobedience to the righteousness of God is the highest form of blasphemy. When we know to do right and do it not, brethren, that's blasphemy. When God tells us this is what you're to do and we just deliberately go against it, how dwelleth the power of God and the love of God in our lives? And so he said there's the fear of God. And you see that in verse number 2. And then there is not only the fear, which is the reverence of God, there's the keeping of all his commandments. And by the way, the word all just means all. You know, say, can you break that down for me? Yeah, it means all of them. That's what it means. Well, you don't need a Greek lexicon for that or a Hebrew dictionary, right? Just do everything that God says to do. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, I'm glad God gives us the Holy Spirit that enables us to keep his commandments, aren't you? Hey, by the way, you say, well, this is Old Testament. Well, New Testament, Titus chapter 2, verse number 12 says, we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this world. God expects us to keep his commandments, brethren. And so, number one, there's reverence. Number two, there's righteousness. But now I want you to notice what Moses said here. He said, when you live a life of reverence, when I live a life of reverence, when we live a life of righteousness, there's reward. Look, if you would, in the verse number 3. Hear, O Israel. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. He said, there's a reward. He said, it's going to be well with you. Can I tell you, when we live for God, when we do what God says, it's going to be well with us. By the way, it's going to be well for the land too. He's talking about going into the land. He said, there's going to be some Canaanites and some Jebusites and some Hivites and some Hittites, a lot of ites over there. And he said, they're going to be watching you, right? They're going to be watching you. And they're going to see if your God has made an impression to where you reverence him. If you obey his word, they're going to be watching. And there's a reward for you. He said in verse number 3, that it may be well with thee. I want to say publicly, it's been well with me since I've come to Christ. It's been well with me. My life is blessed. How many of you can testify, it's been well with me. My life is blessed since I've come to Christ. Since I have left the vices of sin, since I have come to Christ, it's been well with me. And it is well with we who live according to the Scripture. Why? Because God said so. God said it would be that way. And so he said that it may be well with thee, in verse number 3, and that ye may increase mightily. Now, when we keep God's commandments, when we live the righteous life, of course, the righteousness is of Christ. I understand that, okay? There's practical and there's positional. Positionally, we have righteousness of Christ. Practically, we make decisions. Please don't tell me the devil made me do it. The devil hasn't made you do anything. That's right. The devil can't make you do it. And God won't make you do it. He made you a free moral agent. I have a choice. You have a choice. Choose to do the right thing. That's right. Joshua made the choice, didn't he? As for me and my house, he said, we're going to serve the Lord. And I need to make that decision. I have made that decision. You need to make that decision. And many of you, and I trust that all of you have made that decision. So he said this. He said that it may be well with thee and that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. And there is increase. There's blessing. There's overflow. When people, and not only that, I believe that people gravitate to people who live right. I talked about a little bit Sunday. When people live right, people gravitate to them, brethren. It's salt. There's an old saying, well, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. No, but you can feed it salt and make it thirsty. Amen. And when we live for Jesus, when we live right, people see that in our lives and it makes a difference. They wonder what is different with them than I. And it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's keeping his word. So he said that it may be well with thee and that thou, verse number 3, that thou mightest increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. I like what one man said. In the land that floweth with milk and honey. Milk is a necessity. Honey is a luxury. When you're living for God, you get both. Amen. You get both. I'm glad that God not only meets our needs, but the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Right? Amen. God will meet some of your wants too. That's right. That's the way God is. That's the way God is, and I'm thankful for that. So, number one, the life that we're to live is a life of reverence and a life of righteousness. We talked about that. Now move down, if you would, to verse number four. And we're talking about families here. All right? It's my responsibility as the father. It's my responsibility as the man of my home, the priest of my home, to set the example for my family. I'm to be a model to my children. You say, "Well, your children are grown and gone." They're still my children. They're still looking to dad. I have grandchildren that are looking to their father and me as their grandfather, and it is important. It matters, brethren. I want to say that again. Listen, it matters. It matters that we continue to do the right thing. Don't let up. Don't turn back. Keep serving God with your life. Keep doing what's right. You're making a difference. Have an impact, you see. Have an impact. And so he said here, if you'll notice in verse number 2, right in the middle of that verse, he said, "Thou," but it doesn't end with you. He said, the responsibility goes beyond you and thy son. Your children are watching. Our children are watching. They want to see, is God worth serving? Does God make a difference? Or is God just an option? I want to tell you, if you're saved in the grace of God, it should never be that God is an option. He is a necessity. He is a necessity. Unlike our former governor, he is essential. He is essential, you see. And so here he said, the life to live. Now he's going to talk about the Lord that we should love. The Lord that you should love. Look in verse number 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord," and that is so. And all God's people said amen. There's not a plurality of gods. There's not, there's gods on the shelf and there's gods in the pocket. Those are little g gods. Those gods are deaf and dumb. Amen. Can't do anything. The God that we serve is the one true and living God. Amen. He is the creator God. He is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there is nothing that he cannot do. Amen. That's right. And so we need to get this message out. You need to live it that way. You need to walk every day in your life knowing that you're walking in the spirit of the God who is almighty. Verse number 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou," now we're going to talk about love a little bit. All right? "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy might." Now what is being said here? Well, I want you to listen just carefully for a few moments. First of all, I think it's important that what Moses is saying here is you just don't teach your children that there's one God. Look at verse number 4 again. He's talking about the fathers teaching the children, and he said, "Now don't forget, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." You teach your children that who God is, the reality of God, right? We teach our children that God is real, the reality of God. But our responsibility doesn't end there. Now, I want you to listen to me. The responsibility doesn't end there. There's not only the fact that of the reality of God, but all of us need to have a relationship with God, and we have a responsibility to God. Every knee is going to bow one day. And our children need to understand this. And so he said in verse number 5, "Thou shalt," because there's only one God, "thou shalt love that God." Amen. By the way, that's a choice. You get to choose. You know, when you're young and you don't really understand a whole lot about love, you say, "Well, I just can't help it. I just love her. I fell in love." You fell in love. you fall in a ditch. Falling is something that's not intentional. You know, this is an intentional love, right? It's intentional. Look at it again. This is not accidental. You don't fall in love with God. You make an intentional decision. I am going to love God. That's right. Look at what he said in verse number 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And verse number 5. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God." He's one. You should love him. Love him. You have the chance. You have the opportunity. You have the option. Do you love God? Well, I love him, but I don't love him like I should. You need to work on that. I need to work on that. Amen. Is that right? We need to work on it. We need to work on that. So I could love him more. I could too. But I don't want to be comfortable with that. I don't want to be comfortable with that. I could love God more, but I don't want to be okay with that. And so he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Look at this, with all thine heart. Now here's what I get out of that. I get fervor. I want you to think about that word. Fervor. Can I tell you that a half-hearted love, listen, he said with all of thine heart, a half-hearted love is the greatest sin of the church of our day. Jesus, when he was speaking to the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he spoke to the church in Ephesus and he said, you've left your first love. And then when he, that was the first church, then we got down to the final church there in Laodicea, he said, you're neither hot nor cold. He said, you're lukewarm. You're kind of half-hearted, right? You can take it or leave it. It's kind of like, if everything's going right, I'll serve God, but if it's not, I won't. If I'm in a crisis, I will, but if I'm prospering, I won't. And he said, listen, a half-hearted love is blasphemy. God will not receive that. He said, you are to love God with all of your heart. Is that what the scripture says, brethren? I know what the flesh says. The flesh says, well, you know, I can't help it. Sure you can help it. My flesh tells me what your flesh tells you. We can help it. We must help it. Here we have been commanded of God to love him with all of our heart. Not for his good, for our good. Right? Love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart. Don't approach God's work. Don't approach God himself. Don't approach God's word half-heartedly. God is not pleased with that. So there ought to be a fervor. Now, don't lose sight of who we're talking about here. Your children are watching you. My children are watching. If I serve God, if I approach God and the things of God half-heartedly, it's going to rub off on my children. Don't forget who's being addressed here. Thou and thy son and thy son's sons. And so when you grow up in a home and you go to the lake instead of the church, your children see that. Amen. All right? When you never crack open a Bible through the week, your children see that. I'm not saying that's what you're doing. I'm just saying we need to have these things in mind. I realize who I'm talking to, Wednesday night crowd. But I am saying this, if we're not careful, we can lax, right? Yeah. And so we have to know that our children are watching and they want to see, is my dad passionate for Christ? Is my dad passionate for the ministry that he serves in? One of the things that I wanted my children to know is dad's real. Dad's not perfect, but dad's real. Amen. If your children know nothing else about you, they ought to know you're real. That means that sometimes you may have to tell them, hey, dad messed up. Dad made a mistake. Dad whipped the wrong one. Hey, man. You said you have to do that, preacher? Yeah, I've done it a couple of times. Yeah. You find out the whole truth after the matter. The damage has been done. Right? You say, well, preacher, what do? You go in and you say, dad missed it. Dad's not perfect, but dad is real. Dads, listen to me. I know Father's Day's not here yet, but Father's Day is in vogue any day. It's okay to admit you've messed up. Just be real with your family. All right? Be real with your family. It's okay. They know you're human. They know it. Whether you realize it or not. And so he said, love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart. Okay? It's important. It's important. Well, what are you saying, Moses? Have some passion for God in you. Have some fervor. Don't have a take it or leave it attitude when it comes to the things of God. Your children are watching. All right? Our children are watching. They're mimicking. I read the story several years back. I've never forgotten it, about Sunday school teacher who was going around in the I think it was like a second, I can't remember now, first or second grade class, and he was asking his students, he was saying, why do you love God? Children are a blessing, amen. I mean, they'll just throw it out there, you know. And so he got several answers of why the children love God. And then he got down to one of the last little boys, and the little boy was kind of, he was coloring or doing something, you know, and he kind of stopped, and he said, why do you love God, Johnny? And he just kind of stopped, and he looked up, and he said, I guess it just runs in our family. You know, that's a good answer. Your children ought to know that you love God. You can tell them that you love Him. But we can show our children that we love God as well as tell them. And so he said here, he said, you love the Lord your God with all of thine heart. All right, that's fervor. And then he said, with all of thy soul and with all of thy might. All right, that's faithful. With every facet of your being, you love the Lord. Love God in all that you do. You don't just love God at church, right? Yeah. You don't just put your I love God pin on and come to church. You love God on Monday. You love God when you're on vacation, right? You love God when you're at work. Yes. We love the Lord in every area of our lives, with all of our heart, and there's so much into this, with all of our soul, with all of our might. And then I want you just to underline all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your might. All right? That's just talking about, you know, the totality of it. There ought to be a complete sell out to God. I am sold out for Christ completely in every area of my life. I'm not holding certain areas of my life and saying, well, that's for me. Right? That's for me. God, you stay out of this area of my life. I've got this taken care of. Oh, no. No, every area of our life needs to be committed to the cause of Christ. And that's what Moses is teaching these people. And he said, you need to teach your children and your grandchildren this. Now, let me give you a final thought here. So, we have lives that we are to live, the Lord that we're to love. All right? Love Him. You say, preacher, I just don't love the Lord as I should. How can I love God more? Well, Moses tells us here in verse number 1, get in His Word. The more you know Him, the more you'll love Him. The more you realize what He has done and is doing for you, you can't help but to love Him more. Get in His Word. Let Him speak to you through His Word. Get to know Him. To know Him is to love Him. And to know Him more is to love Him more. All right? Now, let's finish up with this. Now, here's what he said in verse number 6. He said, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. See, this is where it begins. You've got to get it in your heart, Dad. Thou and thy son's sons. Mom, listen to me. It's got to get in your heart. If it's only in your head, your children are going to see it. If it's only in my head, my children are going to see it. It has to get beyond my head and my mind and get into my heart. All right? The core, the seat, the heart. It has to get there. How can it get there? Well, here, Moses said, these words which I commanded this day shall be in thine heart. Take it to heart. Commit yourself to it. Right? Take it to heart. The problem with a lot of things that are going on in our world today is a heart problem. All right? It's a problem of the heart. We can educate people. We can try to legislate things, and I'm not opposed to that and more. But until God changes a heart, there's a lot of things that are not going to be accomplished. There must be a heart change. And so if we live it in a way in front of our children, our families, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our friends, our enemies, then they're going to see the difference that the heart makes. Now, look what he said after that. It shall be in thine heart, okay? You've got to get it in your heart. You say, how do I get it in my heart, preacher? I'm telling you right now. I've told you, I gave you those five things, remember? You read your Bible. Start out 15 minutes a day. You say, well, that's not much. Well, for some, it's 15 minutes more than they've been reading. Don't you leave here saying, I'm going to read my Bible an hour a day. You might for the next 2 days. Read your Bible 15 minutes a day. Pray 15 minutes a day. Every day, you ought to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Every day. God, I can't do this without you. I want to walk in your Spirit. I want to be filled with your Spirit. Amen. I do not want to walk in the flesh, right? Amen. You walk in the flesh, bad things are going to happen. Yeah. God, I want to confess every sin to you. You confess every sin to the Lord. Confess it. If we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. It's important to confess your sin. The old timers used to call it keeping short accounts with God. All right? And then finally, you need to tell the Lord every day, Lord, I love you. Be honest with God. Lord, I love you, but I don't love you like I should. And I don't love you as I ought. I want to love you more. God, help me to love you like you desire to be loved. Help me to love you like you deserve to be loved. And even help me to love you as you demand to be loved. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart. God, help me to love you. Help me. Now, I want to close with this. Verse 7, 8, 9. Just give you a few things. I hope you'll consider them, if not write them down. He said, and thou shalt teach them diligently. That is a great word there. It means to sharpen. All right? It means to sharpen. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Every parent ought to be a homeschooler. Oh, wait a minute now. I don't mean science. And some of you have chosen to do that. And if that's what God laid on your heart, I think it's a good choice. But you ought to be a homeschooler of the Bible every day. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. What? The commandments, look at verse 1, the statutes and the judgments of the Lord. You ought to teach your children every day the Word of God. You know, we have people, and please don't think I'm trying to be mean here, but I'm just being truthful. We have people that are really upset that they took Bible reading out of the school. Do you have Bible reading in your home? If you don't, and you're upset that they don't have it in the school, I think that's a double standard. And so I would be far more concerned that you're not having Bible reading in your home than the local school's not having it in the school. Now, I'm not saying that I am glad that Bible reading is not permitting in the school. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying we need to get concerned about what we have control of right now instead of what we don't have control of. We need to work on what we don't have control of, but we need to take full advantage of what we do have control of. You can have Bible reading in your home. Amen. Have family altar, devotion time. Thou shalt, look at this, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Teach God, teach God's word to your children. All right? Number two, thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You spend time talking about your favorite sports team? Nothing wrong with that. Not at all. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I know you love me. I know you love me. Right here close to Washington. I'm also an Atlanta Braves fan. That's right. Yeah. I could go on. Hey, the love could just go out the ceiling here if I kept telling y'all my favorite sports teams. Listen, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's not a thing wrong with you talking about a ball game. There's not a thing wrong with you talking about a hunting trip, a fishing trip. But that should not dominate your conversation. I want you to notice what the Word of God says. The Word of God trumps everything, brethren. The Word of God is final authority. And the Bible says you need to be talking about your children, about how biblical principles and scriptural truth can fit into their life, their day-to-day living. Look what he said again, thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. You're sitting around talking about the ball game, not a thing wrong with that, not a thing wrong with talking about school or a little friend they have, or maybe even a little altercation they've had, and you want to apply biblical principle to it. Talk the Bible with your children. Amen. Teach them how the Bible is relevant to their life and the things they're going through in life. It is the answer for what they're going through. That's what the Bible's teaching right here. You teach your children the principles, but you talk with them about the practices. Amen? Very important. Very important. Don't just teach them what the Bible says. Tell them how the Bible is to be applied in their day-to-day living. Now, Then he said this. He said in verse number 8, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." This is just simply, there's phylacteries, and I'm not going to go into this. The Jews had phylacteries, and they would wear them around their necks, or they would bind them to their hand so that they could carry them with them. Well, we have Bibles today. Amen? We have Bibles. We memorize Scripture. Aren't you glad for the Word of God? I'm so thankful for the Word of God. Listen, I'm glad that I don't have to tell you. You know, somewhere close to the first part of the Bible, I don't know about, 364ths, of the way in. I'm glad I can say, turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. Amen. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. You see, what we have today, we have so much. We need to utilize what we have. Teach your children to read the Bible. That's what he's saying here. Teach your children that the Bible is a priority. Teach them to hide God's Word in their heart. He said, take the Word of God with you, that they may be upon thine hand and the frontlets between thine eyes. Then he said in verse number 9, and then we'll close with this, thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And of course, they also had these scrolls that they would pen. We don't do this today, but I tell you what we do. We have them in our home. Many of you have them in your home. We put up little plaques or little trinkets in the house that have Scripture. I have cards. I have 3x5 cards all over the house with Scripture. When I'm memorizing Scripture, I just like to put it in different places so it reminds me, and where I am, I can review those Scriptures. I carry them in my pocket. I'm thankful for things like that. You do the same. You do the same. It's basically just saying, don't be ashamed of the Word of God. Put the Word of God out there. You listen, I can't tell you the times that it struck up a conversation with people. People see me with a 3x5 card in my hand. I'm looking. I said, I notice you keep looking at that card. What is that? I'm glad you asked. It's a Bible verse that God's laid on my heart to memorize. Here, see if I know it by memory. I get to plant a seed now, right? Yeah. So I'll quote that verse, and they're reading it as I'm quoting it. Whereas if I just walked up to them and said, hey, read this, a lot of them would say, I'm not going to read that, right? So the Word of God, it's important. Parents, there's lives to be lived. There's a Lord to be loved, and there's lessons to be learned. And that's what this section of Scripture is saying. It's on us. We have a great responsibility to teach our children. Let's stand to our feet.